All right, I have hit the record button. Joe, give me a sound test.
How's that?
I didn't hear a thing.
Okay, then we're good. It's your turn.
All right, let's do this. Welcome, brethren, sisterin, and everyone in between. And we don't discriminate here. We're all part of the same hallucination, etching experiences and other miseries onto the blackboards of our souls. And who's to say what religion is, really? Nothing more than a whole lot of prayer. Prayer's just meditation. And meditation, that's just the inverse of abbreviation, isn't it? And if you want to get drunk with us tonight, if you want to learn how to be the kind of master debater who can argue yourself out of a paper bag, you got to crawl inside the bag first, don't you? Welcome to the paper bag. This is Just Be Cousins. Time to hyperventilate. Joe, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing good, except my dog is driving me crazy.
Is your dog talking to you?
Well, actually, my dog was... He doesn't know how to say hallelujah, but as you were speaking, he was yipping in the background. He was just hallelujahing you. He was...
Is dog your co-pilot?
He's supporting you, man.
Dog is just God spelled backwards, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Ooh.
That's crazy. Here, let me... I'm going to open up a bottle of communal wine here. We'll get rolling. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Are you... I know that we kind of do these things on the fly. Are you religious at all? Do you consider yourself to be a religious man?
That would be a no.
Be a no. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where... 10 is Pope and 1 is like, I'm going to go and kill as many Christians as I can with a machete, a dull machete. Where would you put yourself?
I'd say in terms of religion, I'm at a zero. But when it comes to, I don't know, I don't want to be cliche about my own perspective here, but I feel that I'm rather spiritual.
Okay.
But now, isn't that different? Spirituality has something to do with religion, but I don't. It's not necessary to be religious at all in order to have some sort of spiritual set of beliefs. Am I correct?
I don't disagree with you. I think the point. Let me ask you this: are they mutually exclusive? Can you be religious and not spiritual at all? I mean, can a person be religious and not be spiritual?
Well. No, I mean, if you're religious, I think you're by definition, there's some sort of spirituality there.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know, so I'm asking
you. But it's not
you.
The other way around. It's not the other way around.
If you're spiritual, you don't necessarily have to be religious.
Right. To me, religious is, you know, that's very specific, and it's there is some sort of text that you're relying upon, and there's a tradition, there's maybe an institution that's behind it.
Okay.
I'm not there. I just...
You're not there.
How about you?
You're not institutionalized.
Yeah, well, look, and I have a lot of religious friends. I don't have anything against it. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm not there.
I do.
I think there's a lot... I think I'm missing out on some stuff because I know people that... Their experience going to church and kind of connecting with other people is really kind of a powerful, positive thing.
Okay.
I think I have to get that type of experience elsewhere, like... Different other venues. I don't know. How about you?
So wait, I will talk about me. Don't you worry about that. But are you talking about fellowship? I think is the word that the laity use. The going and hanging out with other folks. That to you is an important or a useful or good aspect of these institutions that call themselves religious.
Yeah, I feel like having a deep connection with other people is. I think it's necessary, really. Okay. And I think people, religious people, they really tune into that through their religion. That's a positive aspect of religion, I think.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. I do think that people have connections through shared experiences. And if a whole room full of people have the shared experience of being hypnotized by an evil liar who wants to tell them what to do and damn them to the fiery pits of hell for all eternity simply because they said, amen, then, yeah, they share that, and they have it in common and can get along. I don't, what's the word I was looking for? Tolerate religion. I realize this podcast is supposed to be funny, and we're taking it down a non-funny road. So let me just
right
kinda,
away.
Let me just
right away.
Let me just, now that the Roiksop is over and we're about to hear a goddamn ad. Hey, who wants to write at the speed of life with Grammarly? They're not paying us a goddamn thing for this. Sons of bitches. Anyway.
You know, if you didn't have accidental YouTube ads just jumping out of nowhere, I wouldn't feel at home. So, thanks.
Sure. It's what I'm here for. Let me see. How can I talk about my utter disdain for religion and make it hilarious? I don't know if it's possible.
Actually, I detect a little bit of, like, bitterness.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Maybe the bitterness is how I'm trying to be funny. I don't. I say this to you because I trust that you will listen, and I trust also that our two listeners will either be on the same page or, you know, dismiss me as the bullshit man that I am. But it's difficult to, in common society, to talk about how religion is evil, and I don't mean that glibly. I mean literally. The church practices evil. You go to a church and there's a bunch of people in suits and they're saying, let's pray to Jesus. They are evil human beings, Joe. I'm not joking. I wish I was joking. I'm not.
All right. Well, look, do you see that any person benefits from their religious faith or their involvement with religion? Do you see any benefit at all? Because I do.
Okay, so Garth Brooks claims that the best thing that ever happened to his marriage was when he got caught cheating.
Look, no one has ever benefited from Garth Brooks, so I'm just kidding. Actually, I have a place in my heart for Garth Brooks. I think he's a real artist. Let's talk about that some other time.
We should, yeah.
I have a feeling we're gonna just really be disagreeing a lot here. How do you just real quick?
Yeah.
Give me three words that describe your feelings on Garth Brooks before we go back to religion.
Okay, three words. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Huge fucking scam.
And that's a perfect segue back to your feelings on religion.
Yeah.
Jason, let's
yeah.
hear it.
Huge fucking scam. No, yeah, do you say, do people benefit from it? I suppose. I mean, there's a guy walking down the street and somebody shoots him in the leg and he falls down. And as a result of being out of work for 3 weeks, he's not there when somebody else shows up with a machine gun and kills everybody. So he benefited from getting shot. Yeah, I guess you could say people going to church have some kind of benefit from it. But the amount of evil that they have to endure to get that, I think they can get it in other places. I'm not articulating
myself. Let me get on the same page with you here, just to, you know, because I've had a lot of positive things to say about religion thus far. I've also made it clear that I'm not religious. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, my father was whispering in my ear that all religious people were fucking crazy since I was about 3 years old. So that, I think that was an influence.
That's an interesting coincidence. My father as well.
I wonder.
And they are brothers.
There's a connection there. Yeah. Yeah, they are brothers. But anyway, there's that. And I also think that, okay, man, I think it's wrong to tell children to use this consequence of hell as some sort of training technique for children. Now, I'm but a Taco Bell manager in Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah.
But I think that has some detrimental effects to scare the shit out of children like that.
Yeah.
And to tell them that that's real, and then all of their impulses and all of their desires become this shameful fucking burden.
Yeah.
And that sticks with people for the rest of their lives, and I'm not on board with that
at all. That's evil. It's terrorism. It's using fear
to
control people.
You're saying terrorism and evil, and I'm just saying, yes, it's fucking wrong. When you say evil and terrorism, okay, maybe you're right. But okay. I feel like maybe, you know, you've gone all the way. Hey, and you told me you don't like Bill Maher.
No, I don't.
You're on the same page with him in some aspects.
Well,
we both have
two nipples. I mean, I'm going to overlap with the guy. I mean, I assume he has two. If he has more, good for him. But we're going to overlap. I mean, yeah.
You don't know about Bill Maher's nipples. You're just saying that he has two. He could have three. Some people have three.
Maybe he only has one. You know, maybe he keeps it
in
a box.
Maybe one of them got cut off in a terrible cheese grating accident.
And there was a religion involved, and that's why he's anti-religion. So let's be clear. I don't think that terrorism is necessarily evil. I mean, evil is a thing, and the terrorism overlaps it quite a bit, but there can be acts of terror that aren't in and of themselves evil, and that's because I have a very specific definition for evil, and I don't think that evil is a word that means bad or cruel or violent. I mean, those things can be part of an evil act, certainly. But yeah. When I say that using the concept of hell to scare people into doing what you want them to do is terrorism, well, that is terrorism.
Actually,
that is perpetrated.
By definition, that is terrorism.
Exactly.
You're right.
And that terrorism is perpetrated by the will of an evil human being, the pastor usually, or the priest, or the rabbi, or the imam, or the other guy. I can't remember all their religious titles, but
look, I think that it's kind of a common human fault to use fear. Use the leverage of fear against one another, especially if you're in some position of authority. I'm in a position of authority over my asshole dog, and I try to terrorize him. And I do. You know, we've established the definition of terrorism, and that's what I do. I try to terrorize him. And
sure.
You know what? This may or may not be profound, but the fact is, the best results that I've gotten from my dog is not through terrorism, but positive reinforcement.
Okay.
It's classical conditioning, operant conditioning. This is Psych 101, and goddammit, the shit works better than terrorism, at least when you're trying to modify the behavior of your dog.
Sure.
Now, for human beings, I could say that there's a lot of research that points the same direction, but anyway.
Well, that's true for, and I don't know what the research says, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but if you're trying to change the behavior of one specific person, and you could mold your positive reinforcement to that person's personality, great. But if you're trying to control an entire congregation or an entire nation, fear works a lot quicker, a lot easier, and has more of a lasting effect. You can't give 300 million people positive reinforcement to get them to, you know, elect an asshole, but you can scare the shit out of them and they'll elect the asshole. So,
well, let me tell you, actually, using fear and intimidation, there's literature that would support that fear and intimidation, you can yield compliance from that, but you can't yield trust and kind of like buy-in,
right?
With that, not necessarily. You can just scare the shit out of somebody and they'll do what you say.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they trust you. That doesn't mean that that you're both on the same page.
Ah.
It doesn't mean that. See, to get one's motivation. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And now, good. Now we're moving back towards evil, because evil is seduction. If you want to seduce someone in order to be able to control them and get them to trust you and depend on you, and this is what evil is, to get them to do things that they know they don't want to do but they do anyway, that is evil, and that's what I'm talking about.
That is compelling.
I'm with you. Something I've been meditating on for a long time, and we're a good 14 minutes into the show, and this is not in the least bit funny, but you know what?
Let me tell you this. If I wanted you to just be funny, and I wanted to somehow motivate you to be funny. Now, we're not in the same room. Sometimes I wish we were in the same studio, but do you like donuts?
I do. I like donuts a lot.
Yeah? You like donuts? What's your favorite donut, Jason?
My favorite donut is the Dunkin' Donuts padded chocolate-filled donut. Here.
All right, well, let's say I had a Dunkin' Donuts powdered jelly-filled donut, okay? and I was sitting here, and the listeners might not realize it, but I'm holding a donut. And every time you say something funny, and I told you before the show, I'm like, look, when you say something funny, I'll give you a bite of this fucking donut. I bet you would just keep getting funnier and funnier.
you know, in terms
now if
of...
I terrorized you and I had a gun to your head and I said, say something funny, motherfucker. Now we're about to hit record, and if you don't say three funny things in the first 10 minutes, I'm gonna shoot you in the face. What do you think would beget the best results?
Obviously the donut one. I'm
thank you.
Not disagreeing
that's all.
With you.
Psych 101.
Sure. Thank yeah. You. No, you're absolutely right. However, let's say that in this situation, what you did was you sat next to me and you put your hand in my pants and you started moving it around and you said, you know what would be funny? Is if you got hard right now. And I feel ashamed and I feel disgusting. And as my hard-on starts to grow, I hate myself even more. And then you lean into my ear and you whisper, told ya. That
oh,
is
right.
Evil.
Yes.
And it's also hilarious. God. Mission accomplished. Fuck you, Pastor. Because it happened to me when I was six. Just kidding.
By the end of the show, you're going to realize how just in step with everything I've prepared for the show that statement is.
That scares the shit out of me.
It is. It's fucked up. It makes me want to now talk you into Christianity so we can just get reborn into Jesus and stop this shit. Please.
Yeah.
But we're not in arguments for cancellation yet.
Not yet.
Let's hold off on that.
But, a little bit of
God
time.
God damn, is that right, completely aligned with things that you will hear earlier, later. Not earlier. Later. Thank
later.
You.
Yeah. So, yeah, religion. We don't necessarily know what the hell we're going to talk about, no pun intended, Joe, before we start these shows, in as much as we send notes to each other and say, we could talk about this or that. But I thought, let's talk about religion, and I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but if it yields these kinds of results, I'm able to get things off my chest. I think our two listeners can, you know, go a week without laughing their balls off. And that's not
cool,
sexist, because they're both guys.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, Ian Sane, our friend that was our first guest last mm-hmm. week, would just be delighted, because we do tend to now, at the very least, come up with some theme and run with that theme. Now, maybe we're successful sometimes, maybe not, but I think it's easy. You and me talking about religion, it's it honestly, off air, we don't talk about it very often.
No,
and I was like intrigued by it. I was like, "Oh, what is he going to say?" And I had a feeling it would be kind of gnarly.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher-ish.
Well, fuck you. I mean, yes, thank you.
That was the response I was looking for.
Yeah,
thanks.
I figured. I just wanted to play in here. You seduced me, Joe. You're evil.
Yeah. You tell me, like, we're 20 minutes into the show already?
Nearly. Yeah.
Like, delved into that religious thing.
Yeah, I know.
Right away.
I think about it a lot. I wrote a novel, Joe. I wrote a novel about this.
All right. Now, you brought that up on you've never told me about it off air, but you have mentioned it on air, and I wonder, can you just plug that book real quick?
Have
you published that one yet?
No.
We have a couple of books that are on Amazon, and well, you know what? Oh, wait, you don't want to plug – you don't want this connected to your authorship, do you?
Well, yes and no. I'll just say this. I hear what you're saying. This book was – it's in – I've written my first draft. I need to go through and redo it, and I might publish it. I'm going to just spoil it because no one will ever read it, but it's a story about a guy. He's a homeless guy, and he's immortal, kind of. He can't die. He can be injured, but he can be healed. And his job is to find evil people, serial rapists and killers and pedophiles. And his job is to kill them before they have a chance to repent. So Satan is like, look, if they repent, they get to go to heaven. But I need that kind of evil energy with me. So you need to kill them before they have a chance to ask for forgiveness, because God will give it to them if they ask for it.
Wait, hold on. So this guy's working for Satan?
Yeah, he's working for the devil, but he's killing evil people, and that's the conflict, right? He's sort of he's a hero, but he's also doing it for bad reasons.
Wow, that's really cool, Jason. You know what I was thinking, though, when you started describing it, and this is – I'm not trying to, like – fuck with your novel. I think that's a great idea. But I, you know what I was thinking when you were describing that is, actually, I'm looking for evil people to shut them down before they can use the loophole of finding Jesus. Like, it's not fair to just, oh my God, I've killed all these people. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to do it like Bart Simpson once said. He's like, let's just do the presto changeo, find Jesus at the end of your life and you go to heaven. No problem.
Yeah, that is what he's doing, except he's doing it because Satan. Actually, he doesn't know if it's Satan. It's this guy who's a priest who shows up every once in a while and says, okay, here's your next assignment. And he's like,
oh, okay.
And he's like,
so he's not like in conscious collusion with Satan.
He knows that the priest. He knows that the priest is from hell. He knows this priest has a direct line to the denizens of the underworld.
Okay.
And he knows what he's doing. He knows he's doing it to thwart the will of God. He knows this.
Mm.
It's just that he's not like talking to a guy with horns and red skin. He's talking to a guy dressed up like a priest. And the priest.
And yet, the consequence for the world is kind of maybe some sort of effective vigilantism.
Exactly. And so what happens, the plot is that, again, I'm spoiling the whole thing, is that as he's going about his business of killing these bad guys, he comes across this woman who's a zealot, and she's doing the same thing he's doing, except her goal is to get them to confess and repent and accept Jesus, and then she kills them. So they are in this competition where they're both trying to kill the same people. It's a super cheesy novel, I realize this, but
are you kidding me? That's great. And
they're trying to...
And therefore, the who is the good guy and who is the bad guy is
right.
Completely, like, tangled up in bullshit, which is exactly what human life and religion and everything really is anyway. And that's your point. Am I right?
Kind of, yeah. Yes, you're right. The you know, there for a long time, she doesn't know that he's doing this on behalf of trying to get them to be killed before they get a chance to repent. And she thinks that they're working as a team, and you know, there's kind of conflicts there. And then at one point he meets an angel from heaven who comes down and kind of talks to him for a while. And the reason I bring all of this up and why it's apropos to my saying that religion is evil is that he comes to the conclusion that kind of the thesis of the book is that God is the one that's evil, that Satan and hell and all that stuff might as well not even exist. Does it even matter? Is it real? Is it just a force of nature? No. It's and don't get me wrong. When he comes to this conclusion, it's not just him sitting on a park bench going, hey, you know what? Maybe God's evil. Fuck it. No, it's a long meditation. It's most of the book. It's all kinds of different historical things that I bring in. I'd like to think that it's worth reading. I don't know. When I publish it on Amazon and I get my two reviews, I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, and you know, it's I've always thought it was an interesting idea that this is not your original idea. You do have an original idea or four or five in there, which are really great, but you know, the whole idea of actually Satan is rebelling against God because God is a piece of shit and this is not fair. And that's the character of the devil. Like, you know, one of the last books I liked from Anne Rice before she spun off into total madness was Memnock the Devil.
Oh, okay.
And that's what it was about.
Oh, really? All right.
Well, but again, like, it's not that your idea is derivative of Memnock the Devil. It's just that thing where Satan is actually just rebelling against the evil of God is... just it turns the whole thing on its head, and I think that's interesting.
I should go read that. Yeah, my book was a meditation, so to speak, on the nature of free will and whether or not we have free will, and if we do, what does that mean? Why do we have it? Blah 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 blah. And religions. And so to go back to the beginning of this conversation. Why do I think religion is evil? Is because religion seduces people into giving up their free will. And that is kind of a non-hyperbolic, boring way of putting it. I mean, if I were to walk up to somebody and say, you know, Baptists are evil, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. But if I say religion is a seduction of the giving up of free will, now that's a philosophical discussion and people might disagree with me, but it's a little less incendiary to point out, but that's what it basically comes down to.
Well, You know what? Well, here's another kind of interesting angle that I've been presented with, and even now with my in-laws, where these people are good people. I mean, they're good people. And here's another thing. They are religious, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm pretty sure they don't.
Okay.
In conversation with them, I've realized that they find religion very important because it's a way to teach one about morals.
Yeah.
And they even brought that up. I was talking to them, specifically to my mother-in-law, who's like really cool lady, just really cool. But we disagreed, and the conversation we had was really interesting in that I said, well, yes, she knows that I'm an atheist, and it's a little concerning. Let's say I have a kid with her daughter, and she's like, well, how – and she said, she's like, well, how then do you teach morals – to someone? And my response was easy, and it's what I believe, which is actually morals are innate in a way. You know, the ideas of religion were begotten from innate moral ideas and concepts. We created religion and structured it with morals or compliance or whatever. You know, it's, you got a lot of leverage if you have a religion. You have a lot of leverage. But one of those things, which may be positive, is to teach someone moral code, like some sort of moral code. And that's what she said. She's like, well, how would you know if people don't, like, go to church and learn about these stories? These are all moral stories. So how would you get that otherwise? And I said, well, you don't need that. You don't need a religious context for a human being to understand what right and wrong is and what kindness and love or hatred and destruction is. You don't need that. That's built in. We see that. We get it. Am I right?
Yeah. You know, I'm afraid this show might go long. I'm warning you, Joe, and I'm warning all of our listeners.
This is the least funny shit ever. Can you tell a fart joke quick?
Well, I want to talk about this idea of morality and religion and how I don't know that it's the right word to say that I disagree with you completely.
You mean what I just said?
Yeah. I don't know that.
Come on. I was like, oh, yeah. That was good. No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, so.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
I feel like morality. So you said that there was morals and then we built religion off of that? Is that what you kind of said? I don't want to...
Yeah, what I'm saying is kindness and love and treating another person right and trying to do the right thing is something that we naturally move toward. You don't need some sort of like institutional religious structure in order to convey that to your children.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I think it was...
Did I go beyond that?
No. I get Penn and Teller confused. The one who talks, that's Penn, right?
Penn Jillette? Yeah, apparently the other one can talk too. And it's
yeah, he can, absolutely. But when one wants to differentiate between the two, it's easy to say the one who talks, right? And there's a thing you can find on the internet, him...
He's a staunch atheist.
Absolutely,
he explains it well, actually, very well.
And he talks about this very subject, about how if you're... not religious, then what's to stop you from raping and killing all the people you want? And
which is bullshit.
Well, his response is, you are right. I am an atheist and I have raped and killed everybody that I want to. And that number is zero. And if your number is not zero and religion is the only thing holding you back, sign up for jail now. Which is a funny phrase.
I love the way he explains that stuff. I've watched a lot of stuff and listened to him explain it. It's really good.
Yeah.
And independently, I've come to feel the same way. Before I even heard him say it, I just thought he was a fucking magician. But
yeah, no,
but
he's...
His defense and his explanation of atheism is really powerful.
It's very powerful, I agree. But this idea of religious morality versus a morality that we're born with or is innate or that is part of the human condition. See, this is where I'm starting to disagree with you. And I think it might be nothing more than a semantic disagreement, Joe. I think so.
Let's work it out real quick and then we'll start being funny again.
Well, I think that let's just say that they made murder not illegal in the United States all of a sudden. Would the murder rate go up? A little bit. There might be a few people who are like,
I think so.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. But I don't think it would go all that much. I wouldn't decide to then go murder someone. I don't think that you would. I think the vast majority of people wouldn't do it. And it's not so much because they think it's wrong as much as they just don't want to. The morality of not murdering.
That's me and you and many people.
I think that where morality comes in, and I've been drinking, and I'm also not very well educated, so a smart person can come in and dismantle this easily. You can dismantle this easily, and you're a very smart person, so it should be no problem for you. But I think morality is nothing more than an after-the-fact look back at what we want people to be ashamed of. So if you were to murder somebody, Joe, you called me up and you said, hey, I killed somebody. My first question would be, you know, probably why, you know?
Right.
And if you told me heat of the moment, I'm probably going to forgive you because I understand you're a passionate human being because you're a human being. Or if you told me because he was threatening my wife. I mean, whatever explanation you give me is going to, in my mind, say it was justified. So where morality comes in is nothing more than you feeling guilty about it later. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done something else. That was wrong. That was terrible. That was bad. In fact, what morality does is it casts you forward, right? In your mind, you're like, I'm going to go kill that guy. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Why? Because it's wrong. Because you'll feel bad. Because there's other things that you could do. And I feel like religion grabs up that idea and then shoves it down your throat. Christianity.
Yes, it does. It does. But here, let me expand on that a little bit. The reason why that works is because we naturally go that way. We also have a lot of really terrible tendencies, I think, naturally, innately. And that's what my mother-in-law was saying, is that, you know, this is the way to this is how you teach a person what is good and what is right and what is wrong. And I don't know. Maybe I lost a little bit there.
No. This is what I'm getting at. I don't have to teach my son not to kill people. I don't have to. I don't have to tell him that's wrong. I don't have to tell him rape is wrong.
Yeah,
I don't have to tell him that robbery is wrong. I don't even have to tell him that hitting people is wrong. By the time he understands that what he's doing is causing another person pain, he will stop on his own. Now, don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean I'm going to let him hit people. I will stop him and I will talk to him because I want him to be aware of his role in society. But for the most part, I don't have to teach him morality because there's no such fucking thing as morality. It's
This is a semantic argument.
Yeah. And so what I would say to your mother-in-law is, like, when she said, how can you teach morals without religion? I would say the only way you can teach morals is without religion, because what you give to people is nothing more than everlasting damnation and guilt because of something they thought about doing, as opposed to what I'm going to do, which give them access to their free will and the ability to live in the consequences of their actions, which you don't let them do. Because if somebody in your religion murders someone, all they got to do is say, hey, Jesus, I'm sorry, and they're cool. And that's fucked up.
You know what? Yeah, it is. But I feel like I really do want to push forth. All right. It's a semantic thing that we're dealing with here.
It is, yeah.
I don't think – okay, morality, the definition of which I think we're a little bit in disagreement. We don't need to establish that necessarily, but I just want to say that it's not morality that is innate within us. It is kindness and love that is
yeah.
And empathy.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a moral code. That's just – a tendency that we have that should be nurtured, and it does not take religion to nurture that tendency natural endowment that we have as human beings.
And to go one step further, I say that what religion does is corrupt that by saying it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to an all-powerful being who gave it to you, and you owe him your soul as a thank you for that gift he gave to you. And that's evil, and that's why I hate all of them. I really do, Joe. I'm not being glib here. I'm a coward when it comes to...
I have a certain amount of bitterness and kind of like... I just think a lot of things that happen within religions are very dangerous and destructive. And so, like, I'm on board with you. I am. But I'd like to try and see both sides because I know a lot of religious people and it really... It really does... It helps them and it helps. It's hard to be alive, and I know people that are religious where it makes their lives easier, and it's based on the good part of who they are, and right. And that's a good thing.
Have you ever seen that movie or play called Whore?
No, but I wrote a play called Whore when I was 23. And I wonder if it's about the same thing. Tell me about it.
It's a kind of this prostitute is talking about her life and her day to day and a crisis that she's having with her pimp. And at one point she describes how when she was first becoming a prostitute and she was turning a trick in the back of a car and the guy was getting really violent and this guy showed up and saved her. And she to this day doesn't know if he just happened to come by and save her or if he set it all up in advance in order to, you know, show her that he was her protector, but he became her pimp. And of course, you know, this is all stereotypes, but it's true. You know, he's an awful guy. He takes 90% of her money. He treats her like crap. He, you know, expects all this stuff. And I genuinely believe, and I'm not trying to be funny, even though I should be because that's what our podcast is about. I genuinely believe that religion is, and all the things it gives you, is that pimp showing up, saving you. I'm doing air quotes now. Saving you from a bad situation that it probably put you in the first place, but then giving you a shitty, shitty life as a thanks for it saving you from that. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to get beat up in the back of a car or raped or anything like that. But if you look at what would have happened to her, yeah, it's a good thing. But if you would have looked at what would have happened to her if she had survived that circumstance versus what her life is now, you know, in this movie, you realize that she might as well have taken her lumps, recovered and moved on. Who knows? Maybe it would have scared the crap out of her and she would have gotten out of life immediately and became like a fast food worker or something. I don't know. But that's my point. Religion, priests are pimps. They really are. I'm not even. That's not glib. That's what I believe. That's what I believe, Joe. That is what I pray to. The pimp priests. And here's the thing, Joe. That TV show, The Young Pope, which I've mentioned a few times, really good fucking show. It's really good.
Maybe I should go ahead and start watching that thing.
It's really, really good. And it is nothing like what I'm talking about at all right now.
Well, you know what? That's our first ad, which is watch. What's here? Go ahead and do it.
Watch.
Give a plug for the show.
I'm going to tune in every Wednesday. The Young Pope on HBO. Jude Law kind of looks like Joey's dad. The end. He does. It's weird, right. Joe. Jude Law looks like your dad.
You brought that up too. That's interesting. I think he'd be really delighted to hear that because Jude Law's like a hot movie star. And
yeah,
you know,
there's a picture from your wedding of my dad and your dad sitting next to each other in suits, and my dad looks like, you know, Dom DeLuise trying to be a werewolf, and your dad looks like Jude Law. So,
oh man, fuck you. That's harsh.
No, my dad would love that.
I'm telling on you.
My dad would love that.
He feels that way.
My dad thinks Dom DeLuise is the biz snob. Yeah. Hey, we're at minute.
We're going to break this up. See, we're trying to do the same thing at the same time. I swear to God right there. I swear to God. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
I was going to say, we're approaching minute 40. We're probably going to go long just because I can't stop ranting and raving, but we haven't paid for our time with our ads yet. Maybe that's something
we
should do.
No, we haven't, and we haven't been funny for even a moment. So no. Let's break this up. And here, I'm going to smoke a cigarette, and I'm going to do this. You know what this means? Did you hear that?
I heard that, yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
That means I'm going to drink a Bud Light. I'm just going... I know you don't... You're not on board with religion, and you're not on board with Bud Light.
Bud Light. So, the religion of beers. I don't know. That's stupid. I am drinking. You don't know what I'm drinking?
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking. I'm going to read the entire label. This is a 2013 Castillo de Montserrat Carignana Dominica. I can't read that. Garnacha. This is some Spanish wine I picked up for $8 today, specifically for the show. I'm about halfway through it. I'm feeling pretty good.
Hey, that's cool. I'm going to do a first real quick.
Carignana.
Break up how serious this show has been.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a first, and that is me. My dad once said, once I bought this house, he said,
you didn't say much then. You still there? Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. I cannot hear a fucking thing Joe's saying. And if he can't hear what I'm saying, this is all the worse. Joe, you still there?
Hey, am I back? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. See, smoking kills, Joe. I went to the wrong
side of the yard. Okay.
Look, I went to the wrong side of the yard. What I'm saying is, I need to take a pee in my yard. And my father told me that once you buy a house, you need to pee in the backyard. It's true. It's just a rite of passage. I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again.
So you're peeing.
And I do have a cigarette in my. Can you tell that I have a cigarette in my mouth?
I can.
I'm
yeah.
A fucking low life right now.
You're smoking a cigarette, drinking a Bud Light, pissing outside, and doing a podcast.
See, everything just really turned south. You didn't think that would happen like that. Hold on a moment, I'm peeing.
We were talking about religion and being not funny, and our recourse to hilarity is Joe smoking a cig, drinking a bud, taking a piss. Okay.
And now I'm having trouble because now my dog is like, oh, what are you doing? And now he's over here trying to interfere with the piss stream. This is very complicated. I'm holding the laptop. Oh, God, just give me a moment. I've put myself in a precarious situation.
Take your time.
Get out of here, dog. Jesus. God, I need to get back to the seat.
I'm going to put on the show notes, just skip to minute 41, because that's when it really starts.
Oh, good God. All right. I'm back to my table. Hold on, Jason.
Yeah, you got some Purell? You gonna clean your hands? You're just gonna go all natural there. Fuck it. Pour a little Bud Light on your palms. You'll be fine. It's sterilizing.
All right, well, I'm sorry about all those complications. I thought it would just be funny.
Was it?
Okay, good.
It was.
All right, so here's some good things about God.
Good luck.
Well, or let me use a different term, God, or just creation itself, or just the miracle of life, or the just how weird, fascinating existence is.
Yeah, but Joe, just to interrupt you, you said, here's some good things about peanut butter, or cars, or boats. There's nothing to do with each other. Anyway, sorry. I'm belaboring the point. Please continue.
Creation, existence.
Yes.
You believe in those things, right? You
don't I do believe that things exist, yes. René Descartes taught me that.
Right. Well, there are certain... I'm going to call it God's creatures. Mm-hmm. And it just, that includes you and me and this dog that was trying to eat my pee while it was coming out of my dick. And I think it's all very fascinating. See? I don't have bitterness against creation itself. Yeah. And I have a little clip for you, which is just strange, and it's to do with God's creatures. That
okay.
is, the creature, the human being, this fascinating human being that sings this song is very unique, and just utterly fascinating.
Okay.
But this individual, God's creature, if you will, also does impersonations of another of God's creatures.
I see.
And it's crazy. It's look, the song is called, I can't remember what the song is called, and I don't speak any other language than English, but the name of the song to me sounds like Banana Asshole.
Okay. So you like
And that's what, if you find that in the box.
Yeah. Should I play that now?
Banana Asshole. Go ahead and play it and start it on like 30 seconds in.
Oh, I don't know if I have that power. I'll start it and try to fast forward.
and meet one. And
nakatira sa Manila, nagtatrabaho sa Quezon City, pero sa bagyo nag-audition si Joel.
Miss Chris, Miss II.
Anong name mo?
My name is BM.
Hey, anong gagawin mo?
I'll be singing.
Okay. BM, go.
Thank you.
Hello.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
My favorite song.
You said Corazon yet? You have to say Corazon. Oh, okay, good to know.
Yes, madam.
That noise. All right. We're done, right?
Yeah, I think I found it on YouTube. And meet
one gutsy person. Yeah. Well, you know.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it's. Now look, I find this human being fascinating. Like
this dude is awesome.
Yeah, awesome. His name's Big Mouth. He says, "My name's BM." Well,
Big Mouth.
I think it's she. Really, I want to get the pronouns right. It's
that
a,
mouth
it's
is
a
huge.
She. I think this person was born a man, but
this is okay. You know, this is Filipinos Got Talent, which has to be. You okay there, Joe?
Fucking dog is attacking me. My dog is attacking me. Get the fuck. Hold on a second. Fucking dog, come here. I'm trying to listen to Banana Asshole. You fuck. All right. Okay, I think we're good now. I put him up on the chair.
Did you try some operative conditioning?
Not quite.
Positive reinforcement. Yeah, don't hump my leg, right. And I'll give you a cookie.
I terrorize him. Really, that's just kind of my go-to because I don't know what else to do sometimes. But
oh boy. Joe,
as if he would understand, like, listen, dog, I'm trying to listen to Banana Asshole. As if he would go, oh, that's important, and then just behave, you know?
Did you do an ad? Sorry, I bumped the microphone. Did you do an ad this week, Joe?
I did, yeah. It's,
okay.
I don't know whose turn it is.
I think it's your turn to go first.
Well, here, before you hit my intro, I wanted to say... So I knew we were doing a religion podcast.
Yeah, or lack thereof.
And, whatever you want to call it. But it's topical, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got some copy from from a company where I'm like, okay, this is going to be, you know, this product has actual like religious significance a little bit. And I wanted to get away from, because our whole last episode was about sex and just sex and
sex.
So I wanted to get, well, seriously. And we tend toward that. It's a limit of our humor. Actually, we just go sex all the time.
Joey
and,
Joey, can I use the the name we called you when you were a kid? Joey, we have dicks.
Yes, we do. It's true. Well, anyway, I wanted to I just got the copy, so this is going to be my first
I can hear you shaking it in the background.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be my first glance at it, but this should have some a little bit of religious significance, and it's just a good product, so go ahead and give me an intro, and let's do this. You know, some folks just can't wait for the next time they're going to take hot meat down their throats. Some people prefer white meat. Some prefer dark meat. Some make the switch to dark meat and never go back. But if we're talking about wieners, there's nothing quite like a Hebrew National Kosher Frank. It's a little bit bigger than your average wiener and a whole lot more satisfying. This is a nice, long, juicy piece of meat. Okay. Jason, this seems a little sexualized already. I think maybe I should just stop right here.
No, keep going. Do not. We need the money, Joe. Please, continue. Okay. Finish.
All right, where was I?
Don't give me blue balls. Finish.
All right. Here I am. Where was I? Okay, so stuff this entire wiener into your mouth. Take this wiener between your buns and just go for it. Hebrew National. In case you didn't realize, we're not talking about hot dogs here. We're talking about dicks. Huge, fat dicks. Okay.
Is that the ad? You done?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's it.
So, what's the religious angle? Is it the Hebrew part?
I guess. I don't know what to say. Just give me the outro.
Okay. Is there an outro?
It's a huge failure. Just give me.
Okay. Beautiful. So, I'll do the ad that was sent to me from Larco.
All right, it's Larco time. That's
Larco
good.
Time.
Let's get away from this.
I'm going to apologize in advance for this ad. The Larco shitheads. I should not insult them. They pay for our show, but the guy literally called me an hour before the show and said, "Here, write this down. It's your ad." I'm like, "Fuck, dude, I don't take dictation." He's like, "You want money? You take dictation." So he reads this to me. I write it down. He's like, "Okay, clean it up and read it." I'm like, "You literally phoned in the ad, dude." He's like, "I did. Fuck you." Click. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Are you religious? Are you Christian? Are you Catholic? Do you have a statue of dead Jesus hanging up in your house? A crucifix, to use the Latin? Are you tired of goth kids stealing that crucifix and using it to play dress-up? Do poltergeists infest your home and turn your crucifix upside down, scaring the dead bejesus out of your grandmother? Need help? Your prayers have been answered. Introducing the Satan-Proof Cross from Larco. The Satan-Proof Cross has the same dimensions, up, down, and sideways, and features a gravity-sensitive hologram of your Lord and Savior, so he's always bleeding down, never up. Spin the Satan-Proof Cross any which way you like, and the worst you'll get is an X. An X stands for Christian. So the joke's on you, devil. The Satan-Proof Cross comes with a variety of holograms to fit every decor, from serene to sorrowful to holy shit, this hurts. And if you use our code JBC when you order online, we'll have an actual priest bless your Satan-Proof Cross absolutely free. Just pay a small shipping and indulgence charge. So what are you waiting for? The rapture? Start your own second coming today with the Satan-proof cross.
Ooh, fuck you, Satan.
Joe.
Yeah?
Joe. I want you to make a t-shirt that says, fuck you, Satan.
That's too easy, right? That t-shirt's already half... It must exist already, right?
I want you to wear it in public and have people come up to you and say, And you're like, what? You don't like my shirt? But it's... Oh, you say, hooray for you, Satan? Right. But
so
you shouldn't...
Christians are like, hey, I don't... Wait. But... Well... I...
come on. Yeah.
Well, anyway, though, you know, that's one of Satan's, like, neat little tricks to freak everybody out. Like, okay, I'm going to—oh, here it comes again, the fucking the trope of me turning your crucifix upside down. Ooh, it's me, it's Satan.
Yeah.
Guess what? Well, we got a cross that fucks that. You're fucking up your program, Satan.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Find another trope, Satan. Aiden. All right, so we're an hour into the show. We should probably keep moving along.
I got one more thing, though.
I don't know. You're going to get a chance. We're at minute 55. We're fine. You got an argument for cancellation? You got a reason why we should stop this bullshit here at episode 12? We got an even dozen, right, Joe? Even dozen. We're done.
That's right. This is the dozen. The next episode will be the baker's dozen.
That's right. And the next episode will be the fat baker's dozen. And then one after that. Go ahead, what?
Oh, I was going to say, is there some religious significance to the number 12? Can we do that? No?
You know, Jesus had 12 apostles, so there's that.
Boom! Okay, yeah. Got it. See? I couldn't come up with anything, but I was like, 12. Yeah. Come on, religion. You know what I like is we'll have a theme, and then we actually, like, strain and desperately try to keep with the theme, but this time, goddamn.
Just nailed it. We just nailed it in both palms and the feet. Boom! Yeah, that's terrible. Can I tell you this?
Sorry, Jesus.
To put that on the back of the t-shirt. Fuck you, Satan. Sorry, Jesus.
Merchandise. We got merchandise and content.
That's right. We're all over the place. I gotta tell you, you know, in terms of crucifixions, I find it to be a fascinating both subject and art. Like, I'm not big into art, but my favorite painting of all time is a painting by an artist by the name of Nikolai Nikolaevich Gay, or Gay, if you want to call him that. He's a Russian painter from the 1800s or something, and he has a painting of the crucifixion, which is terrifying. It's terrifying because most of your crucifixion paintings are Jesus up there on the cross. He's got the nice abs. He's all, you know, like, oh, I'm Jesus. I'm kind of skinny, you know, whatever. But this guy's painting,
he's bleeding and dying. Yeah. Anyway,
but this guy's painting, it's done in what they call the naturalist style, and it's hanging in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. If you're ever in the hood and want to go check it out. But Jesus isn't on a cross. He's basically on a T shape, right? Because they're like, here's a pole, stick another pole on it, boom. And instead of being like 8 feet off the ground, he's pretty close to the ground because they're like, why raise these people up? Just get the job done. And his hands are not nailed through the palms. They're through the wrists. We can talk about that some other time if you want.
Isn't that the real way to crucify?
Yeah, anyway, that's what they say because, you know, there's the bones, the two bones of your forearm hold the nail as opposed to in your hand they would rip out. But, you know, we can argue about that. I don't know. But
right, and instead, you need to do it with Trent Reznor.
Exactly. Nine-inch nails, right. That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. And in this painting, instead of his hands being facing towards the painting, they're pointing towards the sky because his wrists are on top of the wood so that he can hang there as opposed to just ripping himself down. And all of that is just very terrifying.
God,
and terrible.
Horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah, you should look it up.
God!
That's yeah. Horrible. And then the look on his face is he is screaming in pain. This is not, you know, I'm giving my life for you. This isn't anything else. This is Jesus. He is being tortured. He is screaming, and the two thieves on either side of him, they ain't having a good day either. The background's very muddy and dark, and the Roman soldier standing there, he's very
they're not having a good day.
No, they're not.
Oh, that's too bad.
No. It's
they woke up that morning and they were like, you know, things are looking up. I think today might be a sunshiny, like, real positive day.
Right.
Then that fucking happened.
Then that happened. And the thing is,
of Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing, Joe. I mean, I'm going to belabor the point, then we'll get to arguments against cancellation. One of the things that I have, like, never mind my whole diatribe about religion is evil. One of the things that I am just incensed about is that 99% of the religious people I meet, and I'm talking Christians, do not know their own fucking religion. I actually had an argument with a nun, a literal nun. I'm talking about a Catholic nun wearing the habit and everything. She did not know what the Immaculate Conception meant. She's a fucking nun, Joe. And yeah, put that in a montage. I'll say it again just so you can clip it out. Fucking nun, Joe. She didn't know what the Immaculate Conception was. And when it comes to, like, the crucifixion, people just don't know what it means. They think that, oh, we nailed a guy up to a tree and he was in a lot of pain and that's why we worship him. No, that's not what the crucifixion was about. Back in the day when the Romans the Romans, they're like the Roombas, but they had swords. The Romans were crucifying people. Crucifixion was supposed to be a humiliating way of executing a person. If you were a noble person, you wouldn't be crucified. But if you were low down, dirty son of a gun, you were crucified. And that's what the crucifixion is supposed to symbolize, is that God debased himself so deeply that he was crucified as opposed to hung or just had his head chopped off or what have you. And that's the point. It's a humiliation. And that's the irony. And it's actually kind of beautiful. It's kind of interesting. But talk to Christians, they have no fucking clue. No clue.
Well, okay, that's just disappointing that a nun did not understand her own religion. But that's what I like about the whole story of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's just that. You've made it, like, more kind of meaningful to me. Which,
well,
is
good.
Like, no, this is the ultimate suffering. That is,
yeah,
the sacrifice. Both emotionally, physically, everything.
Yeah.
See, I find that a powerful, not message, but maybe just image or like a... Anyway, you know what? I'd like to get back to blasphemy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like, we're over time, but we still haven't even got to the best part of the show yet, which is about to come up. I could belabor this point on and on and on. All I wanted to say was the crucifixion... Religion aside, the crucifixion to me is a fascinating subject, and in as much as anybody listens to this podcast and goes, that guy's an asshole, he thinks religious people are evil, trust me, I've thought about this a lot. I am not a rank and file amateur coming at this and shouting a bunch of shit and then rubbing my face with my own masturbation juices and then falling asleep. This is something that's important to me. Anyway, now that I've ruined the mood completely, let's do arguments for cancellation. Joe, what do you got?
Well, here's the thing. It's last time was the sex and relationships episode, and kind of in honor of that, I had put together a montage that I called Sex, Lies, and Audio Tape.
Yes. I'm trying to do the cool engineering thing where I do intros over your speaking. I don't know if it's working, but please continue talking.
Well, last time it was a montage of us saying vulgar sex related things, and I'm gonna do the same thing this time. I think it's apropos because this is clearly blasphemous. What you're about to hear is clearly blasphemous, and that is my argument for cancellation. We offend ourselves and other people that are atheists. We offend everybody, but let me give you an example here with this montage that we also definitely offend religious people, because sex is a touchy subject. There's a lot of shame around it. To be vulgar about it is to be extra blasphemous.
Can I make a joke? Can I make a quick joke? If you're doing it right, sex is a very touchy subject.
I don't know. JustBeCousins.com. Is that like an incest site or something?
Go Daddy. go, Daddy. That's gross.
This podcast is not about incest in any way. Sex was clearly involved between you and me.
That's right,
Jason?
Yeah.
Those are people that had sex.
That's right.
Just be cousins.
Just be cousins. Open up your gap. Open up your gop. Open up your trap.
I'm tired of opening up my gap.
Beaver Day? Lascivious pervert. It should be Pervert's Day. Perverts? It's Beaver Day. Hey, let me see your beaver. It should be Beaver Day.
And this day is Beaver Day? I keep talking about beaver. 6 more inches of penis.
Fuck, 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 fuck. Pussy, fuck, pussy, pussy, fuck, fuck. I felt raped.
You felt raped. Raped. There was no sexual abuse, per se. The nipple slip.
I'm masturbating.
Well, let me just respond by ejaculating.
I don't know if I feel sorry for your wife or envy her. Joe, you've convinced me once again.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Well, thank you all for tolerating another edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation.
That is what
It really is. It's honestly and genuinely and sincerely the best part of the show. I'm going to put in the show notes so that anybody goes to our website. Skipped a minute 41. It's all boring before then. And if you really want to get to the good part, skip to where are we at now? I should check the audio stamp. Skip to hour 1:05. There we go.
For the first time, I don't know if I'm looking forward to listening to this episode tomorrow, because that's going to be me like trying to pee in my yard, and I've got a cigarette in my mouth, and I'm trying to drink a Bud Light. My fucking dog's trying to bite my pee stream. Like, this is really terrible shit.
I don't know, Joe.
I'd say even 5 minutes before then, we were like, we're kind of like intellectually engaged in something that might be considered like an important conversation, and I just turned it completely around. Fucked the entire thing up.
Okay, just so you know, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of this already, but for the sake of our audience, I would much rather talk about your dog trying to bite your pee stream than anything serious any day of the week. And since we only do this one day of the week, okay, I don't know where I'm going with that, but maybe you should pick the topics from now on, and they should always be about your dog and peeing, because clearly that is much more entertaining and interesting to me. Religion is, you know, it's a fucking cancer, and who wants to talk about cancer for an hour? Not me. So, anyway, should we end this?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
I've really had a lot of fun, but though, I have to say, only a little bit of this has been maybe a little bit funny, and that's me giving us too much credit. Maybe we've never been funny, and this is all, maybe God laughs at us.
I hope he does. I hope God exists, and I hope he's looking down on the planet right now, and he's going, all right, all you fuckers, listen to Joe and Jason, because those fuckers don't give a shit, and I don't give a shit. And I don't know what to say after that.
You've been very hardcore this episode.
I'm hardcore. Well, I went and saw my therapist today. What do you need from me? I mean, I'm clean. You know how, like, people who have AIDS will occasionally get a blood transfusion and they feel a little bit better after that?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, no joke aside, anybody listening to the show, if you have AIDS and you need a blood transfusion, I will help you. Because I think that you deserve all the happiness and joy in the world for having suffered. But anyway, my point is this. What was my point, Joe? Oh, yeah. I've been cleansed. And when Jason is clean, he tends to rant like a fucking maniac.
Hallelujah.
Halla-fucking-luya. All right, everybody. Good night. God love you. And I got nothing else.
He really does.
Yeah, he does. All right.